And we're live.
We are live. Hello, everybody. I'm Dan Nedelko.
Matt Safinich.
I'm Mei Fang.
And welcome to episode 177 of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches, where we talk about all things digital marketing that has been what's new in digital marketing, what we've been working on, and how you can get some takeaways from everything that we've learned throughout the week. And this week, we are going to be talking about something near and dear to Matt and May's heart.
Lead gen
and the use of lead magnets. And today we're going to talk about, you know, you see a lot of blog posts and content about, you know, you should do a checklist and you should do this. And we're going to talk about some tools and ideas, how you can actually make these things come to life and integrate them into your business, regardless of the size of your business.
Yeah, absolutely. Some really good stuff to go on this week and some cool examples. And yeah, I heard May you were working on the presentation for live late throughout the night last night.
So yep, got it all together for us.
Nice.
Good job.
Alrighty. So to break off, we're going to go into some what's new this week. And, you know, last week we talked about how people are starting to spend more money on ads as people are coming out of the pandemic. So a few, let's just pull up the screen here. A few articles have come out with, you know, projections and stats. So a recent one came out that says Facebook ad revenue surges 46% as marketer demand lifts prices.
That's right. And this is also not just, yeah, I mean, this is not post-pandemic. This is dead in the heart of it.
Yeah.
So one of the things, I mean, this is something that we've been seeing with Facebook in general in terms of its popularity. Because businesses were going virtual and e-commerce and online, that the investments in Facebook advertising, because the users have been using Facebook almost less as a social network and more as a communications platform, in addition to the unified Facebook Messenger platform, which integrates Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp into one unified Messenger platform, had a really huge impact. And obviously, it's not hurting Facebook in any way at all.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like from this point of view, I can see that, you know, everyone's wanting to get their ads out now that, you know, everything's starting to look better. Things are kind of starting to get back to normal, at least some places in the world. But at the same time, like we have to think about, and the second point here talks about it, is Apple's new limitations on tracking, right? So, you know, some people are probably putting some ads in, they're not optimized properly. And, you know, people are going to have a bit of a dip in analytics because of Apple's new limits on ad tracking and things. So we might see people starting to pull out a little bit more. But what we're seeing right now is, you know, a lot of people are wanting to get their foot in with some of these ads and stuff, right? So just some stuff to kind of keep in mind.
The other thing to keep in mind, I'm not sure if it's in this particular article, Google's revenue was also reported and it is 10 times that of Facebook. Yeah. So all of these limitations that are happening and privacy is going to change how you functionally go about launching your campaigns. But in terms of reducing the effectiveness, I feel like what Facebook is doing is quite a bit of fear mongering. They're just not happy about it. You know, they're not happy about the audience manager having to change quite a bit and the ad tracking limitations that are going to happen. And again, you know, iOS is not the dominant mobile platform, and iPhones are not by far the dominant mobile device. They only account for about, I think, 25%. The rest, like Android, is massive just because it spans so many different providers, right?
Yeah.
So there's you know, there's a lot of dynamics in here. I think the one thing is to take away for it for businesses and for anybody that's in the game is that in the marketing and advertising game is that these platforms are extremely healthy. They're extremely active. Your campaigns should be effective, and it's definitely, you know, a growing concern. As much as Facebook is going to cry about how it's going to hurt their business,
let them cry.
Let them cry. It doesn't really seem to be, you know, sticking in any real way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Alrighty, awesome. Next, we can go on to an article. This is more of like an update on Google. So Google is getting a Core Web Vitals update coming in May 2021. So what does this mean? So basically what this means is that Google's going to be measuring the loads, the interactivity, and the visual stability of your website a little bit more detailed, right? And, you know, as these increase and as you kind of get better with your core vitals, your search engine results will reflect that, right? They'll be driven in a little bit more, right?
So there's a lot of different elements to core web vitals. And I think one of the things that's really important, visual stability is one of the most important, which is screen shift. You definitely want to be optimizing for it. It's still a TBD as to how, you know, it's always a loaded question when Google says it's a ranking signal. There are hundreds of ranking signals. Some are more important than others. Some carry different weight than others. So it is a ranking signal. There's a lot of debate in the SEO community as to how much of an impact it's going to have and what the threshold is, right? So if your site, if you haven't looked at the speed of your site and your site takes 8 to 10 seconds to load, you definitely want to have a look at that. Yeah. But my gut feeling is that if you are somewhere within a reasonable range of 2 to 4.5 seconds for a site load and the intermediate steps to get there, I'm not sure. I mean, it's really, nobody really knows. And Google's being as vague as they always are about what this actually means. So just something to keep on your radar. You should definitely be keeping an eye on it. You should be optimizing for speed for reasons other than SEO, more for user experience, in order to be on top of this. And we will see some shifts happening in the month of May when it comes to rankings and all that.
Yeah. Obviously, as well, you know, mobile friendly, you want to make sure that your sites are obviously optimized properly as well. I know a lot of businesses sometimes neglect that, you know, ever they put so much dedication into their desktop site that they kind of neglect the mobile friendly. But definitely now that we're getting this update, you're going to want to make sure that all your T's are crossed and I's are dotted for sure.
Right on.
Yes. Alrighty. So I think we're going to, before we get into what's working, there was a really great local story this week within Kitchener-Waterloo, Cambridge region. We're going to be looking at Listowel. So there's a signage war happening in Listowel, Ontario right now, where a few businesses have decided to use their signs to kind of jab at one another, and it's kind of going to viral. And I think this is kind of, you know, this kind of ties into our segment from last week where we kind of talk about businesses, you know, keeping fresh, adding a little bit of personality, right?
Well, this is also trending all over TikTok as well. I believe it's all over Instagram too. It's happening in Sarnia, in North Bay, Thunder Bay, Listowel as well. So it's just, I mean, it's kind of a fun little game that businesses are playing. I don't know how much, you know, I think what it, you know, if you've got this, if you've got this going on, that's a good one. CTV, do you think it'll go global if you're Canadian? Those are two.
Those are my favorite ones. Yeah.
So just some good fun and good TikTok trends happening and Instagram trends happening on that for local businesses.
Preston Honey Hive says that they love the sign wars. I agree. And we've got a few people in chat too today. Matei, Stacy, Courtney, Paige. Hey, Paige, how's it going?
Welcome, everybody.
Alrighty. So now we'll be diving into what's working. So like we said,
No, I was going to say, May, why don't you, I know this is your second live at the Hive, but why don't you introduce yourself to our millions of viewers?
Okay, awesome. Hi, everyone. I'm May. I'm a digital marketing specialist here at Honeypot Marketing now. I've been here for about just over 3 months, actually, and I've learned so much during my time here. I graduated from the University of Guelph last year with a major in marketing. And yeah, I love Honeypot. I've learned so much working here, and I'm excited to keep learning and keep growing.
Awesome. Stacy's doing your evaluation right now as you're sending all these compliments.
Nice.
Jokes. All right. So let's talk a little bit about lead magnets and what they are and why they're important. So one of the things I think, you know, especially when we talk about digital marketing, everybody initially has this concept that it's going for the throat and getting the sale, making the sale, getting the conversions, looking at your Shopify store, looking at your conversions kind of ticking up. And, you know, there is that element to it, but there's also the concept that one of the things that we like to say is you never sell your core product to a cold audience. It's extremely expensive to do that, especially if you're a smaller business. You need to build a community, and there's several ways that businesses can build community. Social and social interactions, consistent social interactions is one way. The second way that is tried and tested and true and we know works is the creation of lead magnets. And you've seen them all over. I'm sure that you've seen them all over. We're going to talk about the kind of the types of lead magnets, but I think more importantly, it's that your lead magnets need to be valuable content that solve a problem for your potential customer. Rather than talking about your product, you're talking about the solution your product offers, whether it's a way to become healthier or a solution mm-hmm. to a specific problem, right? And when you can understand that, so, you know, how to repair a garage door by yourself, right? Mm-hmm. The top 10 tools you need to, you know, to hang a wall, a TV on your wall, for example. There's lots of different checklists we're going to go through and different types of content we can create. The most important thing is that if you can find the sweet spot of what your customers are looking for, the pain points and how you solve them, and you can offer them free, valuable content, people are more likely to exchange their contact information in order to get that. And they also feel like you've been helped along the way. Okay. And then when you build up that leads database and you nurture them and you communicate with them, you can build a relationship that then does lead to that sale. So that's kind of the higher level of what it is we're talking about. Yeah, and I don't know if you can zoom in on that a little bit.
Yep.
So, May, you worked real hard on this. Do you want to take us through a little bit of this?
Yeah, sure. So, lead magnets are at the top of the funnel within marketing. They're usually targeted towards people who may not know about your business, and you want to spread your brand awareness. So, generating lead magnets will help you do that. It gives your audience a piece of valuable content and helps to educate them. It doesn't have to be specifically in terms of your products or services, but just provides real value and benefits about your company. Mm-hmm. So in this infographic here, we have the beginning of a lead magnet. So you offer lead magnet to your audience, and then you can continue on to a tripwire.
Yeah. So yeah, we can walk through this. I mean, this is definitely a generalization, and it's very simplified. Mm-hmm. This comes in a lot of ways. If you scroll up a bit, Matt, so you can see your traffic sources. Yep. So if you're using Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, for example, we can add TikTok into there as well. You could use your blog, right? Organic traffic or other email marketing. You create this lead magnet. And when somebody takes advantage of it, you get their contact information. Now, there's a couple of ways to do it. This is a little bit more of an e-commerce play on mm-hmm. this one. A tripwire is something that is intended to create one first low-cost transaction that someone feels good about. That, okay, so for here, I'll give you an example. In the world of e-commerce, a really good tripwire would be a free sample that's not too small, that they only pay for shipping, like just pay for shipping and you will get your free sample. So that would be over here on the tripwire side. So let's just say that you have a topical relief formula, like a Rub A535, for example, but it's organic.
Yep.
Well, you could talk about 10 ways to eliminate pain, chronic pain. Right? An exercise book, maybe a health and wellness book that someone comes in and says, yes, I want that. Then you offer them the tripwire, which is an absolutely free sample of your product. Just pay shipping. That would be a tripwire, right? Yeah. Not intended to make money. It's intended to build a relationship. Now, in other instances, maybe you have a higher price point. You can go right into a follow-up series here on the right, which then leads your lead through another narrative and another journey using the content and other content that you create. And that's how you start to nurture. Like, these are all nurture sequences, right? So this infographic is here to simplify that process and then also create a return path after somebody does purchase your product.
Yeah, and that could be anything from the bottom there. If you're listening, it's just email marketing, blogging, custom audiences, retargeting, social media, right?
Yeah. Additional offers. Cool. So let's talk about some different types of lead funnels that we're going to go through. So we have checklists. We've got expert guides, case studies. We'll talk a little bit about the nuances of it. Surveys, assessments, and quizzes, which are always very, very popular. Calculators, reports, contests, demos, and free trials. And then we've got one here, photography. It's a little bit more about a creative use of large royalty-free sites that we're going to talk about here. So May, why don't you walk us through some checklist stuff?
Yeah, so checklists are content pieces that provide step-by-step information about a specific topic. They give views, the users often know about the topic, but they need more information regarding the topic. So it'll break it down. The lead magnet will break it down step-by-step and explain the details and information that will help you execute whatever you're searching for, the different plans that you're trying to attain. So in this image here on the right, people are looking for a modern billing solution. And in this checklist will provide them with the steps to help them choose a billing solution that best suits their needs.
Right. So I think one important thing to keep in mind about this type of a lead magnet is if you are in business and you've created a product or you have a service, I think it's important to remember that you will forget more in one day than your customers will ever learn about your entire product. So what may seem obvious to you because you're inside the company, right, and you're inside that product and you've developed that product or you've developed that service is to remember. So for example, if you have storage solutions, so maybe, you know, mobile shipping containers that people can drop off when they move, right? As an example, a checklist that would be very useful because unless you move all the time, it's not something that happens every day, right? And there's a lot that goes into moving, right? Not only loading a container for your stuff, like how should you organize it? How should you label it? How should you pack it? What are the things you need to remember when you move because it's a flurry of information. So that's just one example, but you could do a checklist on the brewing the perfect cup of tea, right? What are all the steps that go into it or brewing the perfect cup of coffee? The important thing to remember is that I think with this, with checklists, is that all of the top professions where we have people's lives at stake, right? So doctors, the medical industry, airline pilots and commercial aviation, right? Every single one, they have a pre-flight checklist. They have a they actually use checklists on a regular, consistent basis. So why wouldn't we use checklists in all other areas, right? They're very useful and you can really break down things and details that people might miss. And the other nice thing about checklists is that when it demonstrates a high level of intent on behalf of that person. You know that lead is looking for specific answers, right? So when you're making your checklist, try to be as detailed as possible and add things in there like pro tips, don't forget, this is very important, that kind of thing.
For sure. And we'll kind of get into, you know, some of the lead magnets have better, you know, pros than others, and some have some cons, but checklists, like Dan said, right, they're a really great way to generate qualified leads nice and quick. People are engaged. They want a nice checklist to look at. And you know, April brings up a really good point that lead magnets are a great way to offer your customer valuable information related to your brand. By giving them this information, it starts to build trust between you and your customer, which is great, right?
Yep.
And then Stacy has another one here, and she says that checklists is an often great way to help educate your customers on the best way to use your products or spark ideas that users may not have considered.
Yep. And if you think about it from a checklist perspective, it's important to remember that if someone is downloading a checklist, they're probably in the midst of trying to plan something or do something, right? Yeah. And that's why I say that there's okay, so there we go. We've got a couple of examples of different checklists, right? And yeah, I think it's important to put thought into your consumer, your potential consumer. So their pain points, like what is frustrating them? What is worrying them? Trust me, if you've ever packed a storage container, you don't want to have to repack it. I've done it like four times in my life and it's not fun.
Yeah, yeah, I feel that. Alrighty, number two, let's talk about some guides. Do you want to walk us through some cool guide tips and stuff?
Yeah, sure. So this is where the expert information really comes in. Guides can be anything from how-to guides to trips, tips and suggestions. It doesn't have to be specifically about your business again, but the value that your business provides. Mm-hmm. So as you can see in this picture, we have the Ultimate Seller's Guide, which provides valuable tips and information about selling your home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just providing expert information and opinions to help people, guide people through their mm-hmm. their business, not specifically about your product, but how they can mm-hmm. work through your product, your business itself.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, with like this seller's guide, for example, when you're selling a home, there's a lot of moving parts happening at the same time. When you're selling your home, you're typically buying another home. Mm-hmm. So you've got two things happening at the same time. And just like with anything in a very hot real estate market, as an example, and this is why, you know, the Ultimate Seller's Guide, we're classing it as this, is that someone in real estate that does this for a living, they will know all of the different, like there's new tax laws, there's new benefits, there's new yeah. things to consider. This is what you need to do with your home inspection, right? It's very overwhelming. So these types of guides, and these are really expert guides. The important thing here is that you have at least, I would say at least a dozen of like expert insights into specific parts of the process that are going to save that individual a lot of time, effort, and energy. So again, I think, you know, the moniker of lead magnet sometimes has a negative connotation, right? That it's like, oh, you're just putting up, you know, that pop-up that comes up, or, you know, that download form. The reality of it is it's all relative. The quality of the content that you create in your lead magnet is directly related to how annoying or not annoying that call to action will be. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And yeah. Oh, sorry. Continue.
Yeah. So I was just going to say it's very important to take the time to understand your persona, to understand your customer, and to create that content so it is valuable. Because to be quite honest, in the world of lead magnets, there is a lot of garbage out there, and you have to distinguish yourself yeah. from the low quality stuff mm-hmm. And put yourself in the high quality area.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, with guides too, this is more long form content, right? You want it to be detailed, give those expert tips, right? And at the same time, right, this will sometimes have a higher perceived value for your customers, right? Because they're getting a longer form piece of content that's mm-hmm. catered towards their needs, right? And the great thing about guides is too, is because you have that higher perceived value for that lead magnet, you mm-hmm. can ask for a little bit more information from people, right? So for a checklist, maybe you're just asking for an email and first name, right? But maybe for like this Ultimate Seller's Guide, right? We have first name, last name, email, a subscription for more tips, mm-hmm. but maybe a phone number as well, right? So definitely some cool stuff there for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think. I think the most important thing as we go through all of these, you can go, keep going.
Yeah.
Through all of these types of guides is really take the time to break down the before and after state. So this is a good example here.
I'll zoom in a bit so we can read some of the text here.
This is for a client that creates that has DIY and custom saunas. So they have a full range of products that range in price from a couple thousand up to tens and tens of thousands. So it is a higher priced product. Now, the question is why does somebody want to buy a sauna instead of buy my sauna, right? Mm-hmm. What we want to look at is, so what are some of the reasons people buy saunas? A big one right now, especially, is it's twofold. One, with increased stress and anxiety over things like the coronavirus and the lockdown, people are looking to make their own homes their kind of backyard oasis where they can get away, right? Yeah. The second part of it is I have anxiety, health and wellness. I want to take care of myself. So what we did was we crafted this as a health and wellness download, not a spa catalog.
Yeah.
That comes later, right? And this has been a that's been a very successful kind of angle. It comes after the fact, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Cool. Absolutely.
So I see we've got a whole bunch of new people watching. If you've got, don't be shy. You can say hi.
Ask any questions if you have any questions. Well, or
just drop a comment and say howdy. We're friendly. We won't bite. Sure.
I posted our promo on my personal Instagram, so maybe we have some friends in today.
Hey, welcome new friends. Alrighty, so let's talk about case studies real quick. I know we have a few of these to go through, so we don't have to spend too much time on each. But case studies are actually really important, especially for B2B as well. So let's talk about these, May.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, Sandra's saying, this is awesome. Thanks,
Sandra. Hey, Sandra.
Yeah, so case studies are like success stories. They showcase real life examples of how your business, your product, or your service really worked for another customer. It's like a testament to the value of your business because it shows real life scenarios and provides specific results in solving a problem. So it can be that last push to get someone to convert, get your leads to convert, because it showcases that your business, your products and services really work. It's not just there. It's a, it provides real, it showcases that your product provides real value to other customers.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things too, that's important with case studies. And again, this goes, you know, hand in glove with everything that we're talking about, is you want to have case studies that relate directly to similar customers that, you know, that benefit will apply to. So, you know, if you've got a small business case study, then you want to promote that to businesses in that same category. Don't promote a small business case study to an enterprise user. Or if you've got a case study about, you know, potentially the health benefits of a product or selling it through to a B2C individual, don't use that as a case study for a corporate client. If that makes sense. You want to have an alignment. So you want a variety of these case studies. The last thing about case studies is they should be really scannable, featuring features and benefits so that someone can pull that. And really what you're doing is you're giving your lead ammunition and free content to go internally to advocate for your particular product. Case studies work really well for B2B, business to business.
Yeah, for sure. Nice rule, one page, really nice one pager, really clean looking one pager will make a great case study. So don't go too overboard. So surveys and assessments, this is a really good one as well.
Yeah, so surveys and assessments are great for engaging with your audience. They're super straightforward and easy to complete, and they provide specific results for the user. They also generate valuable insights for the business who created the surveys or assessments. The results provide them with real information in regards to prospective customers and what they're looking for. So it's great for both parties because it provides value for the business and for the prospective customers.
Yeah. Now there's a lot of different tools you can use to create assessments. And the only difference between a survey is one thing and an assessment is another. So they're kind of two different things, but really with an assessment, the only real difference is you come out with some kind of a grade or some kind of score. Yeah. And, you know, there's a psychological angle you can use when doing an assessment. And this is important. So for example, this is the streaming network. We've been working with them for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. They produce and host webinars and typically enterprise style webinars. In this particular one, it's a webinar report card. And the questions being asked are really, how confident are you about the effectiveness of your webinar? Mm-hmm. Now, quite typically, webinar programs become more complex. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of doubts because there's an investment there. It's also extremely popular. There's often a lot of questions about, am I checking off all of the things to make this as effective as possible? And this is that assessments are intended to do that, right? The assessments are intended to find what's being missed and how to improve upon what's already being done. So if we think about why these are really strong lead magnets and powerful, is because if someone's doing an assessment on the effectiveness of their current webinar program, just as an example, that means they're running webinars, right?
Yep.
They're currently doing the thing. They're also currently doubting how effective the things they're doing right now, how effective those things are. So you can understand that, well, you know, you're finding a lead here, someone engaging with this, promoted correctly, that is probably at the middle of the funnel because they've already done something. They've already invested in this particular case, right? And that's where assessments are incredibly powerful. And we can see a couple of other examples of that. But I think it's something that should be said out loud, because I think these nuances are really important, because quite honestly, when we see articles, you see articles typically out there, they talk a lot about, yeah, you should do a checklist, offer a download, right? But yeah. Why? Like what is the nuance behind the type of lead magnet, and why would I offer it, and how do I present it to make it most effective? So
absolutely. And you know, those really tie in well with quizzes, right? Because once you kind of get the surveys going and the questionnaires, you can branch out to quizzes, and they're a little bit more interactive with your audience, right? People can share them and it increases your brand awareness. But you can also kind of sprinkle them around your content, right? You don't have to include them on every blog that you have, but, you know, maybe you can add it in where it's, you know, a little bit of a quiz style questionnaire almost. But
yeah, for sure.
We can see some examples here of some quizzes here. You know, we have a healthy diet. Are you making the right decisions in terms of diet? There's one here, as well as, you know, emailing for your results as well. Let people take the quiz without signing up first, and then get them to take the results at the end. They'll be a little bit more inclined to do so, right?
Yeah, I think it goes without saying. And I think, May, didn't you bring up that you did, there's tons of quizzes that you've interacted with even recently?
Oh, yeah. Like even, well, I do this for fun, but on BuzzFeed, they have millions of quizzes that I can get lost on for hours just because it's so fun and interactive. Like, it's entertaining. So,
yeah, there's the entertaining side. And Matt, can you throw up the Marketer Knows the GDPR quiz? Because I think that one's a good example, too. Okay. I'm very aware of the time limitations we have.
I think we'll be okay. We're pushing, but we'll be good.
So one of the things about this particular quiz, the Are You Prepared for the GDPR quiz, there's a couple of nuances inside of this that make it important. So the GDPR is the General Data Protection Regulation, which is out of Europe. It's a topic that makes many marketers very nervous, makes them sweat, because there's hefty fines across the board for this. But the idea of this as a lead magnet is, you know, so questioning, are you prepared for the GDPR? Do you understand the terms? It's a short quiz. I think it's only 8 or 9 questions.
Yep.
The idea being is that we want, and again, we're using a negative connotation here in terms of framing, because these are the basics of the GDPR. So you can imagine if a marketer comes in and answers these questions and maybe doesn't do so well, they're going to want help to understand how they can fix that, right? So again, it's kind of like that assessment, just in the form of a slightly more viral quiz. This actually mimics the BuzzFeed quiz format in a lot of ways
too. Maybe you can make something familiar to people too. You know, just reduces that that friction between completing the quiz, right?
Totally. All right.
Ready. Let's get the...
Oh, yeah. And for quizzes, there are a ton of platforms. For WordPress, there's WP Viral Quiz. There's Thrive. Themes has quizzes as well. There's lots of places that you can find free and cheap and easy platforms that you can integrate into your website and or your social media platforms.
For sure. Absolutely. Next, we'll talk about calculators really quickly. You know, I think calculators are, you know, a really great and detailed way to bring in leads. But at the same time, I think that, you know, if you're not savvy with creating these calculators, sometimes I think that they can be a little bit intimidating for some people to create.
Well, I think, you know, the important thing with calculators is they're extremely popular because you're simplifying what are, like, calculating your mortgage payments of you know, the amount of equity that you have is a non-trivial, well, depends on what, you know, market you're in or how savvy you are with your mathematics. But these mortgage calculators, they have a bunch of questions in them, but they're really great ways to engage. The one on the left is from RateHub.
Yep.
And it gives you a bunch of different options in terms of, you know, selecting multiple amortization periods, multiple down payment percentages, all sorts of different types of mortgage, variable or fixed rate. And this thing will come out with a nice profile for you. So you can imagine that this has been an extremely popular feature for RateHub in terms of generating leads. And I mean, that's what they do. They're basically, RateHub is nothing more than a lead generation platform, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, the horse betting calculator, I'm going to come clean. I did put a little bit of money down on the Kentucky Derby for tomorrow.
Nice, nice.
So I did some calculations and I looked at some odds and I picked my best bets. I know what I'm doing. I just do it for fun. But wagering calculators, mortgage calculators, literally estimate calculators, you can make a calculator for almost anything. And there are several platforms that will allow you to create custom calculators as well. They're just super interactive and you're providing a set of tools. The nice thing about having a suite of calculators, it's kind of like having, for content marketing, is like having a suite of SEO tools on your website. These are tools that people, you know, as they become familiar with you, may come back over and over again, multiple visits, to create that ongoing engagement.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it's also important to note that calculators, people are looking for calculators for a reason. So they're looking, they want to get, attain these results, and those results will usually push them to take action. So for example, this horse betting calculator, they're looking for to calculate which betting would be best. So once they have that, those results, they'll likely start betting with their results. So,
well, and the other thing to keep in mind, so a horse betting calculator may seem simple, but you have the exacta, the trifecta, the you've got daily double. You've got so many different ways to wager. Like, there are literally dozens and dozens of different ways to wager on horses. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's non-trivial, just like a mortgage calculation is non-trivial. You could pull out a pen and paper and write all this stuff out, but for convenience sake, to be able to plug in a bunch of numbers and kind of see what your odds might be. Right. You know, then you could do the win, you could do the place, you could do the show, you could do tops 1, 2, 3. It's a never-ending sea of options. This is kind of what it comes down to.
For sure.
Cool.
For sure.
Let's keep going then.
Alrighty. So here we have, you know, reports, right? So a few of the featured ones we have here would be, you know, like a free site audit. You get your audit, sign up, and we send you a report. These are really great because you can give people like a really unique and tailored experience that fits themselves, but also, you know, pull data that that is easily accessible and data that people want to see when they're gathering this audit. So why don't we talk just quickly about some examples of some audits that we can use and some ways that people can maximize the leads from this?
Sure. This is an example of a tool called SEMrush. So again, in terms of creating a report on somebody's website, so, you know, you could do several types of reports. You could do it through an assessment and then provide somebody a report based on their profile, a financial health report, a, you know, all sorts of different things. In this particular case, what this is this is a widget that's provided for free by SEMrush, and this can be embedded on anybody's website. And what it is so if you're in the SEO, the SEM, the digital marketing game, typically, when customers come inbound, they're typically not happy with their current website or they're not happy with their current marketing. They have doubts, but the problem is in the digital world is they often don't know what the specific issues are, right? Like, what, yep, something's wrong with my website. I know something's wrong, but I don't know what. In this case, this gives a snapshot overview report of top three issues, the total overall site health that you've got, and how many crawled pages that you've got. So it gives a nice little snapshot that sends that report to the customer and also notifies somebody on your team that somebody has downloaded that free report. There are several instances and examples you could point out in the world where these types of reports would be useful. And that it also kind of falls, crosses over into assessments as well. So a great thing to add to your site and to your mix of content.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For sure.
Cool.
Alrighty, rolling along here. I think we might make it, maybe not, but that's okay. Contests. Contests are definitely one of the go-to lead, ways to get lead gen. Mm-hmm. However, I think that, you know, sometimes they can be a little bit messy in terms of the quality of leads that you bring in. A lot of the leads that you bring in might not be as high quality as you think. So you'll definitely need to, you know, use strategies to ensure that you're getting the right leads, you're marketing the giveaway or the contest to the right people instead of getting, you know, the extreme Grouponers, the people who sign up for every contest that they come upon, right?
Well, like, I think that's all part of the nuance of how you design something, right?
Yeah.
So for example, you can see here, this is a good one. Leaving a review for, so this is for existing customers, right? There's a contest, an engagement contest, based on people that have already been using the app, right? Yeah. So that's a great way to continue to nurture and to even reactivate people that, that may, like with mobile apps, for example, it's a very common thing for people. I mean, I do it all the time. You install an app, it's shiny for 24 hours. You forget about it. It goes into the dustbin of your seventh screen over and never makes it to your home widget screen.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a really good way here. Like that's a good example of avoiding the
spam,
you know, the spam, users that you might get for sure. May, was there anything else you wanted to add onto this as you,
Yeah. You can promote your contests on a variety of channels like social, landing pages. So it's just a great way to integrate a little interactive element into your content. They're fun and exciting to enter. So super great for building your brand awareness. But like we said before, you have to be careful with the type of leads that you get from them. So if you create a contest that is directly related to your product or service, then that should help with qualifying your leads.
Yeah. So if you go to the next one, you'll see a couple of examples here. So we've got one here that has is part of an internal installer group. We're gating and limiting who the contest is geared towards. And that's always a smart way to do it. The other good thing here is, strategically, contests are great for lead gen, but they're even better for nurturing your existing customer base. Okay. So you should be, if you're thinking about your business and your online business, look at all of the customers. And I think this is super important because lead magnets are not just for lead gen. They're also for lead nurture, right? You're going to have a much better opportunity to resell to someone you've already sold to because you're offering them multiple benefits and they already know who you are. So that's something to keep in mind with contests.
For sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. I think we're coming near the close now. We got demos and free trials.
Yeah, I think that goes kind of without saying, right? Yeah. You know, some of the kings and queens of this, just to be PC, are... Skip the Dishes, Chef's Plate does a really good job of this. Blue Apron does a really good job of this. You've got to, there's a dual-sided benefit to the free trial concept. If we were to use Skip the Dishes, Chef's Plate, for example, me and a bunch of my friends actually did this where you invite other people, you get $75 in free meals. So it basically gives you 4 free meals. Then you invite each other and then they can invite you back with a different email address and then you keep getting free free meals.
Yeah, I've heard that's some awesome people do that before.
I don't feel bad about it because these are public companies with millions of dollars behind them. So
I get that for sure. And you know what? It's just like everyone's dipped into that a little bit. But.
Well, and the thing is I did actually I think I spent about $1,000 on Chef's Plate before I realized that they had given me, I think, whatever one of the biggest packages they have is.
Holy jeez.
Like four meals a week for four people or something.
You got
like
a lot of people over. You got a big family though, so you know you got. They probably got you on the biggest one.
But my kids eat plain hot dogs, so it's okay.
For sure.
Courtney's saying, sorry, you just need to be careful of spam accounts imitating your contest to steal lead information. And that's one of the reasons why, yes, you can just create a contest on Instagram and just say, hey, like, comment, do this, do that. I would unless it's just kind of a quick flash prize, I would suggest using a platform to help with those kinds of issues. So I think it's all in the execution. I think this is interesting. I actually saw a TikTok today just as I was taking a break about the idea that ideas are bullshit. Execution is everything, and it's true. You can look at there is really no new ideas in the history of humankind. So therefore, it comes down to how you put your own spin on it and how you execute these things, and the nuances and the thought you put into how you execute them is really the most important thing, right? And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. So just to wrap up, here's another cool one. This is kind of a little bit more out there, but this will be the last one that we talk about. Yeah, it's that one. Okay. Oops. There we go. Okay. So for photography and or creative professionals, here's a really good idea. You could be an artist. You could be a designer. You could, like, there's lots of ways to rationalize this. So if I'm a photographer, I could go to Unsplash. If I'm a designer, I could go to House. If I am, an illustrator, I could also go to Unsplash. And what you want to do, these are royalty-free and image and or sharing sites. Pinterest is also an example, except for the fact that a little bit of the nuance on the creative side is Unsplash is a royalty-free platform for creative, right? So I could go to Getty Images and spend a whole bunch of money on creative to use stock photography and stock illustrations. Yep. Now, if you were a creative professional or a designer, you could think of a lot of different examples here. If you're in fashion, for example, and you're manufacturing clothes, or you're reselling refurbished and used items, like houses is an example. Anyways, get hundreds of images, put them up for royalty free, create a strong library. And then what's going to happen is you get attribution. At least most of the time, you should receive attribution, which is a mention and a link back from wherever it's being used. Now, that's a form of digital PR. People will see your name. They will, if they're interested, they will seek you out because you're effectively putting your stuff up in a royalty-free state for people to use for free. Mm-hmm. Put your designs up on House so people can browse if you're an interior designer. Put your furniture up on House so people can create different looks with it. There's a lot of different examples, but I thought this was a really interesting one. I've seen a bunch of creative professionals that have done this. One person I know put up over 2,000 different pieces. It was highly effective for them. Yeah, massively.
That's a lot
effective.
Of work too. I mean, it's no joke. When you get a big library like that, it's a lot of work. But it doesn't have to be obviously 2,000 photos, but
it paid off for them.
Yeah, I mean, off, so. It would. Yeah.
All right. So just to wrap it up, I think some of the key points that we wanted to kind of drive home is that lead magnets have a little bit of a I won't say a bad name, but they can have a negative connotation applied to them. They really shouldn't. It's part of your content marketing strategy, and it should really be a deep part of your content marketing strategy in terms of developing quality content. Content sells. It makes money. It's powerful. You're seeing it all across major brands trying to start doing this. And the benefit you have as a smaller, more agile business is you can go and create this stuff on a regular basis, and you have far fewer limitations than the big companies have around it. So May, Matt, I don't know. Do you have anything else you guys wanted to add for the audience today?
From my end, I think it was good. We talked about a lot of cool tips. May had some really great examples in there and really good presentation. So I think at least we cut a lot of all of the fat off of it. But I mean, if anyone has any questions, let us know in chat, send us email, whatever, hit us up on social.
Yeah.
May, do you have anything?
I just think like the main thing is to remember to provide valuable information. People are coming to your lead magnets not knowing exactly what your company is as its top of funnel, but providing them with that valuable information will draw them towards your company and help to build those leads.
Quality, quality, quality over quantity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, everybody. Well, that's a wrap for episode 177 of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches. Hope you got something valuable out of this. Hopefully you can share it with someone that may find this valuable. We will be chaptering everything and putting it up. It is up right now, actually, on YouTube as well, but the chapters will be there so you can easily scan it.
Nice.
Don't forget to hit like and subscribe or I'll eat your babies.
Now that he's off chef's plate, he's got to get through something.
There you go. There you go. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining in and have a great weekend. If you're in Southern Ontario, burr today, but it's supposed to warm up. So keep the faith. It was snowing before.
All right. See you guys.
All right. Have a great one. Thanks,
Barb.
Bye.